Last week we were in chapter 4. We had left off with the parable of the sower. Matter of fact, we were, you know, Jesus had gave explanation to his disciples there. And we'll see where he carries on into some other parables here. But certainly, there's some instruction in the next few verses here for his disciples, those around him, right, that were believers. He wanted to give them the understanding of the responsibility that they carried with them as they were considered his disciples, that they were considered those other people that were around them as believers. This is your responsibility. And God wanted them to understand that. Those who understood the Word of God, here is your responsibility. So I want to cover today only a few verses. And next week, probably a few more verses before we get into the parables. Because I think it's important that as true believers in Christ, that we carry the torch, literally, the torch, the Word of God, properly to the world. You know? And so let's read through these few verses here, starting in verse 21, and we'll go through verse 23. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? And there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. So he says, you know, I didn't put those objects on the side of your head not to hear things. I want you to hear these. I want you to hear this. Jesus said to him, it's important. If you've got the two things that I've stuck on the side of your head, let's use them, because I want you to hear with them today. So it would seem, you know, if we read through this, it would seem like a kind of a foolish thing here. What do you mean you would take this light and you would put it underneath a basket or a bushel, we would sing the song, right? Or we would stick it under a bed or another object so that nobody could see it. It would be a concealed thing for us. But you know, that's what people do. That's what the church does today. They conceal what is truth from the world. Why would we do such things? If you were a doctor and you had a cure for brain cancer, would you not step forward and share that? It would be your moral responsibility to do that. Well, Jesus here, I think, is talking about a spiritual responsibility for believers to step forward with the truth. This is important. Don't hide it. Don't allow it to be put underneath something that other people cannot see. Don't hold it within your own self. You know, God calls us to an unselfish life. And that goes for sharing the Word of God. How foolish would it be for us to put a light underneath a bushel or a basket and not really use it properly? You know, the first place mentioned about light in the Bible is in Genesis, and I want to take a look at in Genesis chapter 1 there, actually. So if you want to go there. Light is one of those things I think we take for granted. Until we're stuck in darkness, right? We kind of take it for granted. You know, when we come in the church, we take for granted, we hit those switches and bingo, the lights come on, right? We kind of take for granted when we go into our house and it's dark and we put on the light, that the light automatically comes on, right? We don't notice. Sometimes we don't even notice the bulbs that are blown in a light fixture until all of the light is gone. You ever notice that? You just don't notice it. But light is very important. Look at verse 3 here. It says, "Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." So on the first day, the very first day, it was so important to God that He would create such a thing called light. Now, the darkness was called night. That night is layil in the Hebrew, and it means a twist. A twist. A twist away from the light. But when what we see here in verse 1 and 2, we see that prior to light, it said that the earth, in verse 2, the earth was without form, right? It was without form and void. And the darkness was on the face of the deep, meaning the sea, the deep of the sea, right? It was on the very face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So here we, you know, if you've ever experienced complete darkness, if you ever experienced complete darkness where you think that you can't even see the hand that is in front of your face. I remember one time years ago, and of course we did it over the summer too, we went into the caverns down in Virginia, but we went into the set of caverns down in Virginia years ago, probably a dozen years ago, and I remember us standing in there, and they were talking about how dark it was, you know, as the discovery happened in the caverns. They were saying it was so dark. You want to see? And they actually stood there and they turned out the lights, and you couldn't see. Darkness does not reveal anything, but light does. So you stood there and you squinted to try to see your hand, but you just couldn't do it because there was no light. See, light illuminates. Light allows, you know, allows to be seen. So as we look at this, even at the very beginning when light was created, we see darkness, but over the waters, the face of the waters, it said, there hovered the Spirit of God. So we get this picture of darkness in the depths of the sea, but even though there's darkness in the depths of the sea, there was the Spirit of God. And, you know, that should encourage us. That should encourage us in those dark moments, right? I think of Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned. And it says that at midnight, which refers to the darkest time of the day, right? That's really what Scripture is trying to say. Hey, this was the darkest moment, you could say, in the ministry of Silas and Paul at this time. But the Spirit of God has the power of making such a dark moment so much brighter, doesn't it? So much brilliant, more brilliant than we could ever do. And so we see this picture that the power of the Spirit of God. See, we never want to take for granted the power that the Spirit of God instills into our lives. Right? The Spirit of God isn't something that we should be afraid of. The Spirit of God is something that we should be thrilled to have within us. Right? We should have this within us. And we're thankful that we do as born again children of God. So in that day one, God would create the light, and there would be a distinction, right? It says that He divided the light from the darkness. There was a distinct difference between the light and the darkness. There's a distinct difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of this world. Darkness. So there's light on day one. Well, on day four, God does something different there. In reference to light, it says, "Then God said," in verse 14, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for the days and the years, and let them be the lights of in the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth." And it was so. "Then God made two lights, the greater light to rule by day and the lesser light to rule by night." We know them as the sun and the moon. "He made the stars also. He set them in the light on the earth." "They set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and to rule over the night and to divide the light from the darkness." Again, a division there. There's a distinct separation between light and darkness. "And God saw that it was good, so the evening and the morning were the fourth day." When we look at verse 3, where it says, "Let there be light," that word in the Hebrew is "or." When we look in verse 14, where it says, "Let there be lights," that is "maor," which is means a luminous body, a luminous body. It's in a sense, it's a chandelier. It's a light holder, if you can think of it that way. It's one that holds the light. It doesn't create the light, but it holds the light. Right? So here we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who is the creator of light. He is our light source. And we are the vessels of God, the temple of God. We are the light holders. We are the ones that hold the light that He has created within us. So when we look at the sun, we see a star there that produces light, but it's through the power of God's creation. And so as God would use those vessels for His glory, right? Because it says in Scriptures that the heavens declare His glory, right? It says that because, see, it's a witness. See, the heavens is the witness of the power of God. That's what glory means. You know, that we, you know, we'll get to it in Matthew, right? We are to give glory to God in our lives. We are His witness of His glory, to His power, to His majesty. But we are the vessels that He uses. We are the vessels that He puts the light into. In ourselves, we are nothing, Paul says. But He gives us the power of this Holy Spirit to be light in this world. You know? Are we putting our light under the bushel? Are we not allowing the truth of God's Word to go forth out of us into somebody else? Going back to Mark chapter 4 there. The lamp, in this case, Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's talking to those that are His followers, right? He's saying, you've got a filled lamp. You have a lamp that is filled with the oil, the olive oil. Yet it's not burning. Or if it's burning, it is concealed. You know, it's not revealed. It's concealed still. Should we take our lamps and should we put them in a place in which others cannot see? Or should we be open? I like what Matthew has to say on this. He says, we are a city set on a hill. Right? Why? Because it is so the world can see. You know? I was thinking about the reef up on Hilltop. When I'm going down Water Street in around this time of year, and when they start lighting it, I don't know if they've lit it yet, but when I'm going down Water Street, I look up on the hilltop there, and I see the reef lit up. It's obvious. It's not something I look for. But when it's lit up, and it's nighttime, I'm in the darkness, and I'm riding down that, I see that. It's not something I have to, okay, I think I see it. It's something that I see, you know? And I think God wants us to be that. He wants us not to be unobvious. It's not to draw attention to us, remember. The light is to shine upon what God has done, right? To give Him glory. It's to witness for Him. That's what it's for. But think about this. You don't fill your car up with fuel and stick it in the garage and never use it. Oh, I don't want to have to fill it up again. Well, what usefulness is that car to anybody if you just leave it there? You know, so it doesn't make a lot of sense for us Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet we're not motivated or not persuaded to use that fuel that the Lord has given us to light this world on fire. What should a person really do? Well, a person should really do, they need to take their lamp and they need to put it on the lampstand. Right? Have you ever noticed the light that's on the floor? Can't very well light up the room, can it? The closer it's to the floor, the less light that seemingly gets out into the room. It might have a shade on it or whatever. It might be directed towards the floor more. But that's the reason why these are up high, right? Because light does two things. Either it is absorbed by an object, or it is reflected by an object. One or the other. For example, when the sun shines on us, and certainly we're praying that the sun would shine on us today with the cold weather that we're experiencing, right? Lord, you know, I want to feel the heat of the sun. I want to absorb the sun. We're all in, right? We want to be, yes, we want to absorb that. We want to absorb that. Just as the Word of God would be presented to us, or we would pick up our Bibles and we would read this and we'd say, hey, you know, we want this to absorb into our lives. When we study our Bibles, are we just reading? Because if we're just reading, sometimes the light that Jesus has in His Word isn't penetrating because we're not staying on the Word of God. We're just, you know, we're just reading through. We're just doing the devotional thing, right? But we want the Word of God to be absorbed into our heart. We want the light, the truth, to be absorbed into our lives because it warms us. It stirs us up. The Word of God should be stirring us up to do what the Lord has willed for our lives. Or it reflects. You know, the moon is very useful at night, isn't it? It gives us light when there's darkness. But it isn't a source of light, it reflects the light. And sometimes that's what we do as Christians. We reflect what God has given us. We get to share with somebody else, maybe an unbeliever, somebody that doesn't understand Scripture. Maybe it's for encouragement purposes that the Lord gives you something. You ever wonder why the Lord gives you certain things? You go, well, why do you got me thinking on this today, Lord? I know that I read through that Scripture and you got me thinking, but why me? I don't seem to be struggling with this. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're the moon. And you need to reflect that onto somebody else. You got to let God use you, right? That's what the light of the world is. When we're lights of the world, we absorb the Word of God, but we also reflect it. Let's, you know, I wanted to take a look. I thought it was interesting anyways. Hopefully you will. Is that if you go to Exodus chapter 25, it talks about, you know, they're God has given them plans for the tabernacle, right? For the children of Israel to, as they go through the wilderness, to have God with them. And, you know, many times within that, some of the objects that are used are symbolic to the character of God. And so if we look at verse 31 there of chapter 25, it calls out the plan for the golden lampstand there. And it says, "You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its side, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls shall be made with almond blossoms on one branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower, and the three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch, with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for six branches that come out of the lampstand, on the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with an ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and their branches shall be of one piece. All of it shall be one hammered piece of pure gold." We should underline pure there, because, you know, God creates pure things. And His character is pure. So within the tabernacle, we have the holy place and we have the Holy of Holies. And within the holy place, that's where the priest could enter in. The Holy of Holies were the place in which they entered in once a year, the high priest. But within there contained three items. One was the altar of incense, which really represents the prayer of the saints. And it was the table of showbread that we talked about a few weeks ago, that was the fellowship that God desired, right? So He desires prayers. He desires fellowship with His people. Remember, there was 12 loaves there representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was new. They put out new every week, right? So God's relationship, God's fellowship with us isn't stale. You know, it's new every week. And then there's the lampstand. It's kind of, if you go back and look, you'll see that most of the things that God told them to build were dimensionally given. So many cubits wide, so many cubits high, so and so forth. But for the lampstand, as you look through here, you don't find that. You don't find that there's some sort of boundaries on this. There's certain qualifications, right? There's the almond blossoms, which is interesting because the almond tree actually blossoms when? In the spring. Speaking of newness of life, right? But there's no dimensions. And I think it speaks of God Himself, that He is outside of time. He's outside of space. Right? He is the distributor of light. And when we think of light, light is only interrupted when it hits an object or reflects off an object. And it was a stamped, or it was hammered, it was in one piece. There were six branches, there's three bowls there. And it was specifically placed in the tabernacle, the holy place. And it would be the source of light there. So the priest would walk in and there would be the source of light there. See, to me, when I look at the tabernacle and the holy place, that is, in a sense, a preparation to go into the Holy of Holies. Because it gives us a look at the character of God. His desire for His people. His desire for His people today is to pray at the altar of incense. His desire today for His people is for fellowship. Not necessarily just between His people, but between Him and His people. That's His desire. And then His desire for His people, as He called that the Jews see, even though they lost their way, their calling was that they would become the light unto the Gentiles. Well, God's people today are called to become light in this dark world. You don't have to go too far, too many channels on the TV, and you find that we live in a dark world that needs the light of Christ. Maybe perhaps more than it ever did. Because we're coming to the end. We're coming to the point in which Jesus will come back, will gather up those that love Him. And then He will come back at the end of the tribulation period and He will establish His kingdom. And those that are of the light will be there. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declared to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Not even a smidgen. Not even one particle. There's absolutely no darkness in the Lord at all. That's because He's light. He's the source of our light. If we want something revealed, we go to Him. Right? How many times have we asked the Lord, "Lord, I need specific discernment in this"? Why do we ask that? Because He's the light. He is the light. He is the light. In John chapter 1, we know all this. Chapter 1 speaks of the Word, and the Word became flesh, remember? The Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus, of course. It says in verse 9 that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the earth. What does Jesus do for a man? I know what He did for me. He exposed me to the truth of God's Word. It was an exposure that I needed. I needed exposure to the truth. I had a lot of fallacies in my mind about God. I didn't understand His character. I needed that exposure to Him. In Psalm 119, verse 105, we know this scripture well. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We need His lamp. His lamp is His word. Right? He gives us to it so that we can see our path. We can see the right path. We don't pick the wrong path. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus speaks of Himself. And He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, why? Because God, when we walk with Jesus, see, we are exposed to the truth. And truth is light to our lives. And when we have truth, we don't have to walk in darkness. We have a valuable thing called the Word of God at our fingertips. We don't have to guess where to walk. But God gives light to it through His Word. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In order for us to have this life, you have to be in the tabernacle. You have to be in that pure place. Remember the pure gold? If you look at those elements of that's in there, everything was coated with gold in a sense. Pure gold. You know, if you think of pure gold is soft. You know, sometimes we think, you know, my wedding ring is gold. Well, it's got some alloy in it to make it stiff. Because if it didn't, it would just fall off my hand, or it would break very easily and fall off my hand. You know, I'd be washing dishes. Not that I wash dishes, but I'd be washing dishes and it would fall off my hand, right? But pure gold is soft. That's what I want my heart to be. I want my heart to, anything that's of me, I want softened so that the Lord can work in my life. Pure gold. God creates purity in our lives. He makes it so that our lives are pliable to His hand, so that He can form us, so that He can conform us to His ways. The tabernacle there had the lampstand with the lights, with the lamps on it, right? There within the holy place, it was a place where light existed. Light existed. It showed forward. It was positioned so it would show it forward. In a place in which, you know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are new creations. You know, we are created to accept light into our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16 it says that we are temples. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. Containing what? The Spirit of God contains the truth. Contains the Word of God. And even though from time to time, our ambition, obviously, is to live a pure life. Time to time, we get caught up in this world. And we sin. But it says if we come to Him and confess, He'll purify us again. He'll forgive us. Because he's faithful and just to do that. And he'll cleanse us. In Exodus, that chapter 25 there, verse 37, it starts talking about the lamps. It says, you can make seven lamps for it. And they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see that that you make them according to the pattern that was shown to you on the mountain. Speaking of when the Lord spoke to Moses there on the mountain. The lamps. The lamps, if you remember, it talked about the almond blossoms there, right? It's really referring or representation here of the rod of Aaron, which was contained in the Ark of the Covenant, which is in the Holy of Holies. But that rod of Aaron represented something that was dead. We were dead. We were dead to our sins. Something that was dead at one point, but was revived, that was brought back to life. He's speaking of us. We were dead. Just like Aaron's rod. But it was brought back to life and it blossomed. And the newness of life, in newness of life in Christ, we blossom. We blossom. If you've ever been up to Washington in the time of the blossoms, it's just a crazy sight, right? All these flowers and the smells in the air, and it's beautiful. It catches your attention. I think about us blossoming as Christians. We should blossom in such a way that the world says, "Aha! Finally, the light of the world." In Revelations chapter 4, verse 5, it talks about these seven lamps. It says, seven lamps of burning, of fire burning before the throne, that were the seven spirits of God. See, they gave light. These lamps gave light. They weren't, remember, they're the holders. The light came from the Lord. But the light exposed what? In Revelation there it says it was before the throne of God. It exposed the throne of God. See, if we are light in this world, if we illuminate, we should be exposing the Word of God. We should be exposing the throne of God. We should be exposing God Himself, the character of God, to the world. If we consider ourselves the light of the world, as we are called. The lampstand. The lamps, the light in the lamps shine and they display the beauty of the lampstand itself, the one holding the light. And it also exposes those things in front of it. But just as the lamps would light in the holy place there and illuminate the showbread table, illuminate the altar of incense, it would also illuminate the lampstand. And it would show the beauty of the lampstand. But just as that happened there, see, the Holy Spirit in us illuminates the beauty of Jesus. It illuminates the Word of God in our lives. It points toward God Himself in heaven. It allows people to see who He is through us. If you think you're just a plain old person that exists just to exist. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is to illuminate. A Christian's purpose is to expose, right? Expose what? Or to reveal. To reveal what? To reveal the truth. Reveal the truth of the Word. We have the Word living in us. And if we are light of the world, we need to be that city that's on the hill. That people see. That they don't just walk by us casually and miss us. But they walk by us casually and they can't help but see Jesus in us. See, it's not about the light, right? It's not about the holder of the light, I would say. It's not about the lamp. It's about the one that the lamp is holding. Right? It's not about, look at me. It's about, look at Him. Right? Go to Matthew. And we'll end with this. Matthew chapter 5. I think it's always good to go back and, you know, look at the other apostles where they have taken note of the same scriptures in a sense, but perhaps, you know, the Lord showed them something a little different. In verse 14 of chapter 5, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." It's impossible, it's saying there. It's impossible to hide. "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Everyone sees that light that's in the house. They take it in. They absorb it. And listen, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Your good works. That which is fueled by the Holy Spirit. Those are good works. If they're not fueled by the Holy Spirit, pray that the Lord would hide them. And that people wouldn't see them. But that they would see the good works of the Holy Spirit in your life. Those good works. Wow. There's God at work. And it says, "And glorify your Father in heaven." May you, may I, those that are lights in this world, right? May it glorify the Lord. May we be witnessed, a witness of Him, right? We talk about like-mindedness or Christ-mindedness. We talk about that. That should be our ambition. Why? Because it glorifies the Lord. To have a mind of Christ, to have the heart of Christ, glorifies the Lord. It serves as a witness. I look at that scripture that says that the heavens declares the glory of the Lord. I think, how much more should we glorify the Lord? Being His chosen, the ones that He's chosen to put a spirit of Himself in us. The Holy Spirit in us. Light's important. We're vessels to be used by the Father of light. The one that created it. The one that created it to reveal. Right? When we think of the lamp that's on the lampstand that's held up there, and we think about the olive oil that's in that lamp and how it fuels the flame, That oil could be compared to the Holy Spirit within us, the lamp holder, right? And the Holy Spirit's in us. And Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit can stir us up. Can stir us up. I think it's Timothy, 1st or 2nd Timothy, I can't remember which, but tells us that that we're in amber, and sometimes we need to be blown on, in a sense, or we need to have it, our amber fanned, right? Have you ever fanned a fire to get it started? Sometimes the Lord needs to fan our fire to get it started again. Stir us up, Lord. May we be light in this dark world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your many wonderful blessings. But we thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that can create a fire in us, Lord, that is evident to others. Lord, let us not hide Your word of truth within us, conceal it from the world. But Lord, the things that You have given each one of us, Lord, through Your word, let us use them that You may use us to reveal who You are, Your character, to this world, Lord. Let us be vessels of hope for the world. Let our light shine, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.